Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. And you're listening to Throwing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka. And now, here's your starting lineup. Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka.
And today we have a special guest, Kazeem Famuyide. What's up, bro?
Yo, what's going on, people? How y'all living, man? Y'all good?
I'm good, man. I was stressed. I didn't want to mess up your last name.
Listen. I grew up, it's funny that this podcast is called Growing Up the Same, and I feel like every Nigerian who listens to this is going to feel me on this one. Like, the pressure or the sort of, the way you hold your breath when people pronounce your last name and just knowing how it's going to get butchered is a pain we all share, but you killed it. We're in better shape now. I used to be way worse.
Yeah, I mean, that's racism if they don't get it right anyway. We ain't accepting. We ain't taking no L's. No. My real shit.
Hell no. Fuck that. I ain't Americanizing nothing.
Let me try not to butcher this shit right here. Okay. Kazeem Famuyide is a creative executive of audio for the Spring Hill Company, the co-host of MSG Network's MSGPM and the Say Less podcast.
And now it's time for the one or the two with J Skills.
The stashed or the source?
Oof. Source. I'll say the source because it's, as many crazy things that you hear about it, like, it's still a historical place and it gave me my start. And I wouldn't have had the energy to try and start Stashed if it wasn't for my experience at the source. So I'll go source.
Dr. Umar or Kevin Samuels?
Damn. I'm going to go Dr. Umar, bro. Like, Kevin Samuels, he's more, he's very entertainingly, like, he's more entertaining than he is, like, oh, I like listen to you. Like, you know, Kevin Samuels and Dr. Umar are like two examples of like a broken clock being like right twice a day. Right. And I think Dr. Umar gets more 12 o'clocks than Kevin Samuels to me. So that's what I'm on.
Melinda Gates or Mackenzie Bezos?
Oof. I'm gonna go Melinda Gates. You know what I mean? I feel like she's still a little bit more raw. You know, like, it hasn't really settled in that she's a single gal right now. So I think Melinda Gates is probably more fun at this point. I think, you know, Bezos, it's already worn off. She's like, you know, in her single bag for a while. So she's probably already annoying at this point. So I'm going to go Gates.
Derrick Rose or Julius Randle?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm gonna go Derrick Rose simply because not to take anything away from Julius Randle, aka Jrue Shiesty, aka the Cornrow Larry Bird. He's doing his thing and he should be in the MVP conversation. But the Derrick Rose story is just so dope because, you know, on top of him being a former MVP, it feels like for the longest time, this is probably the most significant basketball he's played since he was in Chicago. And that's really tight, man, because he's a special dude and he's got that sort of aura. You know what I mean? I feel like every good NBA team has to do with that aura where it's like they might not be like the best player, but like when Carmelo walks in for the Blazers, it's like, yo, that's still Melo. You know what I mean? And Derrick Rose got that same aura for the Knicks where it's like, all right, he may not be the MVP no more, but, like, I grew up watching this dude who mixtape. Like, I grew up watching this dude, you know what I mean, in commercials with Kobe for 2K. Like, Derrick Rose is a legend in my eyes, bro. So I gotta respect that dude. Got to.
WWF or WWE?
Whoo, man. I don't want to do the old head thing and just be like, oh, man, WWF was better back in the day. Da, da, da. But yeah. I'm going to go WWE because that's when everybody started really getting to that money. And as fun as WWF was, they had to change up for a reason. It was the Wild Wild West back then. So I'm going to go WWE.
Raw or SmackDown?
Oh, SmackDown by far. SmackDown's always been the black man show. coined by a black man, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So I'm never gonna go Raw for SmackDown. SmackDown for sure.
Hell in a Cell or the Montreal Screwjob?
Whoo! No, we say Hell in a Cell. We talk about the OG Hell in a Cell when Mick Foley got tossed off. We go with the Hell in a Cell, bro. That is the wrestling version of like Michael Jordan jumping from the free throw line, bro. Like for the rest of time, no matter when you see any highlights of wrestling, you will see, you know, Mick Foley getting tossed by the Undertaker off that cell. So I gotta go there. Got to.
Bieberbelly or Max Bigavelli?
Definitely Bieberbelly, bro. I'm sorry. I've been a day one believer for a minute, and his descent into what I will call N-wordhood is hilarious to me every single time around. Like not even in a hypocritical way. Like it's just his evolution is like hilarious. That even going the way he started to basically becoming the Tupac of his time, like it's fantastic.
Graduation or My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy?
Oh man, Graduation didn't really age that well to me, bro. Like I'll keep it honest, I used to love me some Graduation, love it. And like the older I get, I'm like, man, it's all right. But My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy still slaps to the high heaven. So definitely that.
NWO or DX?
Oh, for sure DX. For sure DX. I mean, NWO before it got stepped on, like before the dope was stepped on, was ill when it was like just Hall, Nash, Hogan, Savage coming out with Dennis Rodman, you know what I mean? Bruce Buffer calling him to the ring and like spending Ted Turner's money to the cows came home. Like that was my NWO. Once they started adding everybody and their mama to the group, that's when it got like super trash. But DX managed to keep like a level of exclusivity to themselves that still makes them pretty cool to me. So I'm going to go DX.
The catch rule in football or the carry rule in NBA?
I'm going to say the catch rule is probably worse. You know what I mean? Because at least the carry rule, you get some fun highlights out of it. You know what I mean? Nobody likes the catch rule. Like the catch rule is just people just yelling and screaming at each other as long as they possibly can. But the carry rule, at least you could end up on Ball's Life. You know what I mean? You can still get some followers off of some carries. You ain't getting no followers off of a bobble catch. So
right. The Carter 2 or the Carter 3?
Carter 2. Carter 2 by far. That was the album that like I fell in love with Wayne music too, right? Like the buzz was there. Like, far as mixtapes is concerned, but once Carter 2 dropped, I was like, oh, nah, he's the truth. He's the truth.
Hennessy or Douce?
Ooh, man. Damn. I ain't getting no checks from either of them as of late. Honestly, neither. Like, it is, I am washed, bro. Like, either one of them joints put me out for at least 3 or 4 days now, so... I'm gonna go neither. I think Hennessy was for its time when I was young and rambunctious, and Douce, I tried to class myself up, and I just realized both of them put me out for 2 days or 3 days. So right. I'm gonna go neither.
Currency or Wiz?
Oh man, I was just listening to some Wiz like not even 5 minutes ago, like right before I did this call. I'll throw on Only Nigga in First Class, like for which I haven't heard in a minute, but there was some slappers on there, man. It's a good vibe out album. Like, you know, the first like 6 or 7 records are official. So yeah, Wiz.
Francis Ngannou or Israel Adesanya?
Oh, you know, I gotta go my brother, the style bender, Izzy Adesanya. Yeah. I feel like he just got the whole package, bro. Like he touches so many levels of what makes like a star fighter, on top of him being like Nigerian, on top of him just being like hella cool and having like a weird sort of front row seat to like his rise into like superstar status. Is really tight, man. And you know, I think he's the not even the future of that company, he's the present.
Yeah. The Commission album we never got or the CRS album we never got?
Damn. Well, the Commission album we didn't get for obvious reasons, right? The CRS album is just people just being like, you know, the hell with y'all. Y'all don't deserve it. You know, like, they're all still alive and breathing, so they should get to that eventually. But I'm going to go with the Commission album just because, you know, the reasons why we didn't get it.
Right. Platinum Chanel or 1997?
Ooh, man. Platinum Chanel. I'm going to go Platinum Chanel.
ASAP Mob or Wu-Tang Clan?
Oh, Wu-Tang Clan, man. Come on, bro. Like, gotta go Wu-Tang. Gotta go Wu-Tang. I don't know. I as much as I love the ASAP Mob movement, mm-hmm. I don't really bang a lot of them albums, like, you know, like, right. And I think Ferg low-key the hottest out of all of them, and it's usually because he got 3-4 bangers per album, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But Wu-Tang, I mean, yeah, come on. I'm Staten Island born, bro. That is the royalty in my eyes, so gotta go Wu-Tang.
Mark Jackson's With All Due Respect or Birdman, Put Some Respect to My Name?
Yo, definitely Mark Jackson's With All Due Respect. Just because that was the context to this day. Yeah. I'm just like, yo, who's like, what was, what, there's no reason I should have ever been prompted. And for that, it makes it that much more of a classic commentary moment.
Hit that out the park respectfully.
Respectfully, though.
Hey, he's the originator, bro. Like, come on. Respectfully, family.
No, he knew the whole world was watching that, bro. This game, one of the finals. Like, where's your mind at, my G? What are we doing?
How long had he been thinking that before he uttered it?
Oh, man. I know there's a perfectly logical explanation for why he said what he said, but it does not matter. Context does not matter. With jokes over facts forever.
Turtle or Proctor?
Ah, Turtle, bro. Come on, man. Jerry's my guy. But, you know, Power. Entourage just hit different. Entourage is like junk food, bro. After every episode, you know, everything was going to be all right. The homie's going to make it. You know, they're gonna get the girl. Vince is gonna get the big part. They're gonna make some bread over it. Like, it was the perfect 30-minute show, just mindless. Turn it on. It's gonna make you feel good. You'll be happy at the end of it. So definitely, and Turtle's at the circle of that. So definitely Turtle.
Bitcoin or Dogecoin?
You made me want to go check my Robinhood real quick, so let me check. The answer will depend on exactly what my Dogecoin is hitting for right now. Yeah, not for real. Dogecoin for sure, because it's so American, bro. It's a joke money, and it's like everyone writing it off like, oh, it's a joke. There's no way it'll do well. And I'm like, look who our president just was. This is exactly why it'll do well. Like, I'll put a couple racks in there, and I've been happy as hell this week. So, yeah, buy that dip, too.
Jokic or Embiid?
Man. Jokic put the beats on my Knicks the other night, bro. Like, I was a witness to that first quarter. I was like, man. I know I was.
Y'all talking, thought it was sweet.
I was talking was sweet crazy. After that, I know. Yo, them 13 out of 14 win. I was talking crazy. And the Joker said, yo, hold up. Some of this in the first quarter. So I got to go to Joker, bro. Like, say what you want about aesthetics and, you know, not looking the part, but that dude is the truth. I'm sorry for all the Julius. Julius having a great season. But, you know, there was definitely levels, and the Joker showed it off that night.
For sure. Joe Budden or Gilly the Kid?
Man. I'm going to go Joe. Only because, you know, Joe's fam. You know, he's always been super supportive, and, you know, Rory's my guy, and I low-key like Wallow more than Gilly anyway. So I'm going to go Joe.
Grits and Biscuits or South by Southwest?
Oh, man. Man. Whew, I'm going to go Grits, bro. South by The early South by days can never be replicated, bro. Like, the early South by days are something legendary that, you know, we might not ever see again. But Grits and Biscuits, bro, love those guys. Love the Slades. You know what I mean? That's just, that's culture in New York, bro. Like, you go to Grits and Biscuits party, man, like, it is.
Bro, I went in 2012 when I moved out to New York for like a year, and I met one of the baddest chicks I ever seen. And we was in there wall to wall sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah. My boss during the party at 3 a.m, like, you know.
Man, like, that's the one thing, bro, about this pandemic that really, I mean, just that era of like parties that were like, you know, social media driven, like self-sustained, like events that, you know, as the nightlife sort of like ended, not ended, but like changed in New York City, the real events were like these things that like people you knew were just throwing, like your Grits and Biscuits, your Brunch Brounces, Henny Palooza / Deuce Palooza. Like, those are the things that everybody wanted to be at. So, and obviously the world's changed so much. I don't know if we'll be able to get that again, but definitely Grits, bro. Love, Easy Mo Breezy, my guys.
Kobe ending his career on a 60 piece or Tiger winning the Masters in his 40s?
Ooh. Man, that Kobe 60 piece hits so different now. Like, when you watch it, it's almost like, it's like watching the last episode of a TV show. It's like, there's no way this is real. Like, you got every famous person in the crowd. You got Kobe like winking to his daughters. Like, it's just, it's like a movie, man. God bless Gordon Hayward and the Jazz for like laying it, for taking that dive that night, bro. We needed that. We needed our proper goodbye. Nobody gave a damn if the Jazz would have won that game that day.
They might have booed them to this day, bro. If they
to this day, bro. Like, I still got smoke for Sean Marion for messing up MJ's last All-Star game. It's like, why would you foul? Why would you foul Kobe? Let MJ get that walk off, man. We good.
The Wire or Snowfall?
Oh, man. I'm going to go The Wire because I still haven't seen Snowfall yet, bro. Like, yeah. I feel so out the loop, and I feel like, you know, right now is the time for me to binge watch it and get caught up because, you know, I want to be able to laugh at Twitter jokes with everybody else. But The Wire for me, man, to me, the best show next to Breaking Bad ever created. So I'm going to go The Wire.
Agreed. Saturday night or Sunday morning?
Ooh, I'm. That's a good question. I'm gonna go Sunday morning. Yeah. I'm gonna go Sunday morning, man. Like, I love just being able to, you know, my Saturday night days are very tame now, but Sunday mornings are the best when you could just wake up, know you ain't got to do shit for like a couple hours, you know what I mean? And, you know, just being lazy as hell. Like, I love a lazy Sunday over a lit Saturday any day, any day.
Gen X or Gen Z?
Gen Z, bro. I think, am I Gen Z? Is that what we classify ourselves at?
I think we're in the middle. We're the millennials.
Oh, we're millennials. We're millennials. Right. Gen Z is like the TikTokers and stuff, right? Like, yeah, nah. TikTok is dope because like I learned so much about like government history because like teenagers are bored. And I'm like, you know, if I had this, I would have got hella good grades in school. Like, this is definitely, you know, we were all taught that cell phones and technology was gonna, you know, cause us to be more stupid, which I'm sure is the case for some, but I'm like, I learned a lot of shit that I definitely would have learned in school because of TikTok. So yeah, nah, and the Gen Z is leading that charge. So I'm gonna go with them.
Coming to America or Superbad?
Coming to America. I mean, you know, it's still classic. And I love Superbad, but come on, it's hard to put two bad bitches next to each other, but Coming to America for sure.
Russ or Dame?
Dame. And I love Russ. Like, Russ and Dame are like the point guards in like, I'll judge you if you don't fuck with them category. It was like, how you ain't got love for Russ? Like, how you got love for Dame? So I love them both, but Dame Dollar just, you know, He plays the sort of game that like I wish I could play, like if I was like hooping like that, you know. Plays a very like admirable looking game. Russell's game looks like it's hard to do. Like that's a lot of energy you're expending, man. Like I'd rather just pull from 40 and wave to people. That looks fun.
Please advise or per my last email.
Oh, per my last email. I will per my last email to you quickly. Like that is my joint. I'm a follow-up fiend, bro. and it's my favorite microaggression because, you know, if you could do it in real life, you'd be really telling people like, yo, was you not listening? Is you slow or stupid or dumb? Like, that's what you're really trying to say. Exactly. But professionally. So you got to make that work.
All right. And the last one, we outside or say less?
Oh, say less. Come on, man. You ain't gonna. No, I got to put the brand over.
Word up.
Absolutely.
For sure. Well, that was the one of the two.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, even at the gym. People, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Right now, bomb listeners. That's right, this podcast that you're listening to, Black Opinions Matter. You guys all go to lucy.co and use promo code BOM to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's Lucy, L-U-C-Y, .co and use promo code BOM at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code BOM.
Man, that was good, man. You had some good ones, man. You made him think.
Man, yeah. Listen, that was fun. I wasn't even expecting any of that, but that was hella fun.
Yeah, you put in the work on that one.
Nice.
All right, young Cass.
Yeah.
Tell us about playing trombone in school.
Oh, man. All right. So I used to play slide trombone back in like fourth or fifth grade, right? So I went to middle school in Staten Island. Lots of white folks. But, you know, I'm son of immigrants, you know what I mean? Like my mom and dad. First, immigrated here from Nigeria, and you know, it was really like a lot of culture shock, like starting like meet people that were necessarily like in my background and like certain ways that I wanted to, you know, learn to do stuff or kind of fit in was participating in as much like group activities as possible. So like that's why I got into like lots of sports. That's why I got into hooping and playing ball. But like, you know, we had a band in our school, and I signed up for band, and I was one of the taller kids in the school. So once I signed up for band, I'm thinking like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, play the saxophone and be smooth like Bleeding Guns Murphy on The Simpsons, and like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's a great character, by the way.
A fantastic character, right? And that's who like inspired me to like want to play the saxophone. But when I went to go try out for saxophone, they was like, yo, your arms are real long and tall. You should probably play the trombone. And I'm like, I don't want to play the trombone. I want to play the saxophone. The saxophone is cool as hell. They're like, you know, like your finger dexterity. I'm like, what's wrong with my fingers? Like, why can't I? So they're like really just trying to gas me to play like the big, like heavy instruments, right? Like
You have to have like a certain stature to play these type of instruments,
apparently. Basically, yeah, right. That's what they was trying to G me on. So I mean, obviously, like the instruments that they had, they kind of in so many words, like rented it to you as a student, and you brought it back at the end of the semester. So you know, they, you know, keep it in the school or whatever for to keep the band together, right? But you wrote down the choices of instruments. And I had saxophone on top, and everyone was like, oh man, you should play like the baritone. I'm like, there's nothing smooth about the baritone at all. At all. Like, that joint is hella heavy. Like, you can't even like dance with it or like do any moves. Like, you have to sit there and play that joint, right? So I'm like, I'm for sure not playing the baritone, and they're not letting me play the saxophone. So I'm like, all right, I guess my long arms are gonna have to do. I'm gonna play the trombone. And I was hella nice at it. I was first chair. I played mad songs. I still know the notes to this day. Like, it's kind of like riding a bike. And the older I got, I mean, I hadn't played much like in high school or college or whatever. But the older I got, the more cooler the trombone seemed to me, because I saw it in a lot of like marching bands and like HBCU bands to see how they freaked it. And I was like, damn, if I knew that, like when I was in third or fourth grade, I would have stuck with this, because this is kind of tight. But that was one of my biggest hobbies, though, man. I was hella nice at it. I was first chair. I killed like four or five talent shows. Like, people knew when I was coming up, I was about to, you know what I mean? You know, when I had my solos, like, I was the only black dude in the band. So, like, they knew that to give me a little, you know, I'll do your notes. Like, I know how to hit the notes for the band teacher. But I'm going to put my own little pizzazz on it, because I wanted to stand out. So it was fun though, man. I love playing trombone, and I love like kind of like trying to create music as a kid back then. It was mad fun.
That's how we normally get jiggy, man. But the way how you was explaining how they like was trying to get you to choose another instrument was kind of similar to me like running track, right?
Yeah.
I ain't know nothing about running track. So like I just was trying to increase my vertical leap a little bit more going into college. So my senior year, I pull up. And the coach is like, yeah, you know, yeah, you can, you know, long jump or whatever. Bruh, I went out there. We probably worked on that shit twice. Next day, he like, oh, yeah, hit the track. I'm like, hit the track? What you mean? He like, yeah, you're going to be running the 200 and the 400. You got some long legs. Bam. I ran track that year, dog, but I got like finessed. I thought I was gonna be high jumping.
Oh man. I got finessed in the running cross country in college in the same way. The same way. Like, our basketball team was straight, but they were like, our coach was like, had a deal with like the track and field coach, and was like, yo, some of our freshmen and sophomores, we're gonna send to make sure that, you know what I mean, they got you know, some track. So all I heard was track and field. I'm thinking, okay,
the we'll short be on run,
the short little sprints, yeah, and stuff like that. They had me running cross country, bro, like against other people who went to school for cross country. Like,
hey, the sickest thing about cross country, it is not sweet. So anytime I would come to track practice late, or like I was just, you know, getting smart with my coach, he would sign me up for cross country. And I didn't know that when you be running in that little pack, by the time you trying to finish up the meters, they be throwing elbows in there.
Yeah.
It get real shiesty in that thing.
It's very, I thought it was just like a smooth, just kind of run, like run your race, run your like lanes or whatever. But like, I'm thinking, all right, there's no real referees out here. Like, if people run into, you know, jab me a little bit on the side, like they get away with it. Like, you running in between fields and trees and all this other stuff. Like, I did not, you know, I must have ran like two races for my college. And I was like, yo, coach, one, if you gonna bench me, but I ain't doing this again.
That's a fact. You was more bold than me, because I just was like, all right, you got it. what's your relationship with backyard wrestling?
Oh man. Dude, so I was like, obviously, you know, I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Right.
And, you know, again, growing up in Staten Island, you know, having young, crazy white friends, you know what I mean, as well. I watched a whole lot of ECW and, you know, a lot of illegal pro wrestling. Like, there was this whole world of, like, WWF that kind of felt like, you know, the big time, like, you know, Broadway stage show. And when I was around like 11, 12 years old, 10, 11, 12 years old, probably, I started like, and this is like at the boom of really like the internet, right? Like, mm-hmm. so this is, might be like the year 2000, I want to say, 1999. And I'm starting to find like these tapes and like these videos of like ECW tapes and New Japan and like people jumping off of rings and landing on tables and stuff like that. And even like these backyard dudes who was doing crazy stuff. So I was like, yo, I want to try that. So me and my wrestling friends, we would like, we had like a little park that we went to go wrestle at near our homes or whatever. And it had a fence around it. So from the outside looking in, it looked like a little steel cage, right? So like we would have match cards. Like we would like book, you know, wrestling matches with each other. And, you know, I was more of like, yo, I'm the big dude, so I'm just going to be doing moves. Y'all ain't just going to be like, just, you know, beating me up or whatever. Like, I'll take a little chair or here and that, but you're not going to pick up and slam me because people couldn't, one. And two, like, you know, I was just, people just really wanted to get thrown through tables. So they would bring like the little patio tables, like little, you know, all like the little, we got money together and got like one of them real ass like tables, not the gimmick tables that they use on TV.
So wait, y'all out here looking like Buffalo Bills tailgating.
Yo, dead ass. That's exactly what we was doing, bro.
Nah.
That is exactly what we was doing. And my mom used to get so tight. She's like, yo, if I catch you out here wrestling with these stupid little boys, you're gonna kneel down and face the wall. So I was like, all right, my fault. I'm never gonna do it
again. Did y'all have characters?
Yes. Oh my goodness gracious, you're about to embarrass me. So my favorite wrestler back in the day was X-Pac, right?
Charles X-Pac.
Shawn Waltman, man, 1-2-3 kid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was an OG in DX. So I used to call myself K-Pop because I wanted to be part of DX or whatever. So I would come out, I would have the same, you know, we had a little boom box. So we would play like the remixed D-Generation X music that Run DMC did. Like that was my entrance music. You know what I mean? I'd come out, talk my shit. And, you know, we had my friend, his name was Jason. And he was like the dude that took wrestling hella serious. Like, he was the dude that was like, yo, nah. I mean, like, I was just messing around. I'm just sitting there, like, just, you know, playing and just having fun. My friend Jason was like, nah, bro. Like, I'm gonna make it. Like, I'm gonna videotape this. Like, people are gonna see me. Vince gonna call me up in like 5 or 10 years, and I'm gonna make it. So, like, he was the one I would bring, like, buy these tables, buy these chairs, and he would like want to get fucked up. He'd be like, yo. He would want to get put through tables. He'd want to jump off the cage, do backflips, all this type of stuff. He was wild as hell. And I remember I put him through a table off of the top of the fence. So he went maybe 8 feet off the ground.
That's crazy.
I put him through a patio table, and we heard that shit break, and we saw a bunch of, I guess, like kids might have been, our parents might have been watching us. And they didn't know what was going on.
Oh, wow. So, it
so
like
we just ran for it. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
So we pulled through the table and just ran for it because people thought we was really fighting and shit. Oh, and that was the last time I backyard wrestled.
So I remember KCAL 9, you know, it's local news channel in LA.
Yeah.
They showed ECW.
Yeah.
And cats was just like, you know, and then the backyard internet sensation shit where niggas was jumping off of the roofs,
yeah,
and just slamming, yeah, and shit like that. So I was like crazy WWF. I'm like HBK, DX.
Same.
You know what
same.
I'm saying? Also WCW and WO and shit like that. And it was 1 year. Like, I'm always amazed that y'all, like, obviously still going, you know what I mean, holding it down for the OGs.
Yeah.
And, you know, still being committed. I respect that. But I think once I hit 13, I kind of tapped out.
Yeah.
But I think around 11 or 12, shout out to my man, Anthony. Anthony mom's, like, would spoil homie, and she would order all the pay-per-view events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they used to show on, like, a Sunday.
Yeah.
So we would go over his crib. And my grandma would pick me up after the last little joint. So we would watch all that shit, right? So I'm at Aunt Crib, like, yo, you know, order pizza, you know, gas his mom up. But she was just happy because I don't even think the homie was just different. You know, I grew up in Compton, so like wrestling in Compton is kind of like,
yeah, it's two different worlds. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, often, definitely. We, you know what I mean? They might be looking at us like we bugging or whatever, but I also hooped. But like, yeah. I had like so many friends in school that like I tapped in with everybody. So like Anthony was like, he didn't really make too many friends. He was kind of socially awkward, mm-hmm. but our connection was wrestling. So when we were into wrestling, bro, I got suspended from school for the first time in my life. Fifth grade, right? Fifth yeah. grade, they said they accused me of starting a gang, bro.
Oh man.
So I
oh man.
So I did the Wolfpack, bro. The Wolfpack NWO.
But my so grandma, you all wear red and black, right?
So, no, here's the thing. So okay. I went to a private school in Compton and First Christian Day School. But on Thursdays, we have free dress. And my grandma went to Target, bro, and bought me the... I got the Wolfpack shirt in there, too, by the way. But I had the Wolfpack shirt, so I wore it. I'm walking around, I'm hitting things with the wolf. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, I'm also Beanie Siegel, like, get down and lay down type shit. Like, you ain't rolling. You know what I'm saying? And the school only went to sixth grade, so, like, you got to think about it. It's like, it's 10 niggas that's, like, fifth graders. And the rest is, like, young. You know what I'm saying? So it was crazy. I'm walking around recruiting niggas, but like we doing moves on concrete.
Oh shit.
So here's the thing. This is where it went wrong, bro. Yeah. I tried to hide. They suspended me some more. Hold on. So this is after I came back from suspension. I did the pedigree on cement. But I didn't I ain't get a cushion. I ain't
getting so was face first is the concrete?
Damn. No. Oh, my God. Listen, he got up, his teeth out. His nose bleeding. I'm shaking because I'm thinking I'm about to go to jail. I'm like, bro, like, what happened? Like, nah, on the wrestling shit, it don't work like this. But how, you know, like, what? You know, like, I'm trying to understand it all.
It's supposed to gimmick the knees, bro. Yeah, it's supposed to protect.
I'm panicking, bro. Like, but that was like not my. This how I knew wrestling wasn't for me because. I hung out with older dudes, right? Like cats was like 16, 17, but they was on some thirsty shit. They trying to show me porn. They trying to get me to walk with them to go talk to some chicks.
Yeah.
I'm wrestling with the 9 and 10 year old. I'm 12 and a half wrestling with the 19 year olds, fucking them up, bro. Like sharpshooter. Like I could have broke their little back, bro. I'm in there slamming shit, like thinking that shit tight. And I remember the homie called me over across the street, like, man, you too old. You need to go get the ball, like, blah, blah, like, what's wrong with you? And I never, like, it took the whole cool out of my shit, and I just tapped out. But man, that was some of the funnest times of my life, bro, because, like, you know, it was pure. You really thought that shit was real. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, bro, we went to Carl's Jr. and got ketchup packages, my nigga. And I punched a nigga with the ketchup package to make it look like he was bleeding. Come out. That shit was lit, dog. It was so tight. I missed those times so much. But like once I turned 13, it was strictly hoop. I got straight to it. Like I'm too cool for all that. But I miss it, man. So I just actually text somebody, my homegirl Jordan, that she's at the agency with me. Mm-hmm. She was telling me about, you know, like obviously.
Oh, I think I ran into Jordan at Tampa.
Yeah, at the WrestleMania joint, she was there. Yeah. But she was putting me on, like, you know, like, yo, you need to go get Peacock so you can tap in like that. And then I'm like, damn, Bad Bunny wrestling? Like, I'm so far removed, my nigga. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't even know.
Wrestling? Yeah, bro. Bad Bunny was at WrestleMania this year, bro. And he's
don't
like,
don't he got a belt?
Yeah, he was the 24/7 champion for a minute. And then he lost it. He gave it back or whatever. But, like, it's funny you say that because, like, within wrestling circles, like, you know, this is how you know, like, there's such a divide when it comes to, like, cool shit and, like,
well, yeah, you know, like, when I first got on Twitter, bro, like, I was discovering it's kind of clicky, but it's not. But it's also, like, the irony of this show that we all grew up the same. So you always going to see, like, a nigga like getting a thumbtack and poking it through his finger. Mm. Be like, oh nigga, I did that too. Or like, or like I tweeted the other day, like, nigga, I got suspended for giving a nigga a rip, like grabbing a nigga back in the neck and pulling. Nigga said, oh, I did that too, bro. But you got suspended? I'm like, yeah, dog. Like I was
bro, wild. I used to go around hitting people with an RKO, bro. Like out of nowhere. Yeah, bro, like then people with Stone Cold Stunners, like Everybody did one.
Niggas used to walk in Fairfax, bro, down the hall and give niggas Stone Cold Stunners. Like, yeah, niggas would be
that's crazy.
In the locker, like, niggas on the football team would just come and get you. And, just like,
what? The
like,
fact that that's happening in high school is a little wild, though. I would have killed me.
bro, niggas were out of pocket, like, violent to each other in high school. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you ever think of the dumb stuff you did in high school? Yo, if somebody did this to me as a grown man, bro, like, remember, like, back in the day, like, if we used to do beggies, we used to do snatchies, we used to do, like, yo, if you had, like, a snack in your...
You don't want that?
If you had a snack in your left hand, we used to smack it up your head! Oh, like, yo!
That's a fade. If you do that to me now, bro, I might chase you down the street and pull a hamstring.
Yeah. Imagine a grown man snacking the fucking chopped cheese down your head.
You don't want that? Oh, my God. Like, could you imagine... I might want to do a series like that, but I don't know. I want to live.
You know what's funny? You know my guy Low Key, right?
Yeah.
Low Key does an Apple Music or whatever. I think he was the last person I did that to. This might have been this is a while ago. It's got to be like 2010 or whatever. He was eating something. I think it was my boy Cam who did it. He was eating something. He was eating like a burger or a pizza or something. And he was down to the very last piece of the burger, whatever he was eating, and just as he was about to eat it, slapped the shit out of his head. Like, yo, what the heck?
Nah.
And the shit bounced and went to a sewer afterwards. And I guess it was about to fight.
Hey, I believe it, bro. I believe it. I believe it.
Was so funny because I'm like, yo, we do this all the time. Like, yo, he really tight, and like the low was really. Really aggy, bro. Like he was.
But you gotta
understand.
Think about if something like really bomb. Like you know, for one, first.
So he's down to his last bite. Like you know, he was enjoying it, and it ain't as good until you finish the whole thing. So you
like, Cass, think about like you waited 45 minutes for DoorDash, your food there, and you like halfway in your shit, you grubbing, and then nigga just hit from under and flip it up. I'm losing it. Because you think about
it is violence.
You order it again.
It is a violence.
You gotta wait again. That's a problem. That's a problem, bro. Man, we could talk about that for hours. Tell me about you writing.
Yeah, so I mean, I've always been I played sports, played a lot of sports growing up, but my parents always like drilled into me that like you gotta be able to do something in the classroom, like whatever it is, like. You got to be able to utilize, like, chase all these athletic goals or whatever, but just know you got to have something that's your shit. And for me, it was writing. Like, I wasn't that great of a math student. Science was too confusing for me, but, you know, I got by or whatever. But writing was where I always, like, you know, that's why I did well in school. Like, I could write you anything, especially if it's something creative, right? And, you know, because I would do it on my downtime. Like, I would just write, you know, comic book stories. I would write like just little, I would make up characters in my head and like, you know, just write out like 20, 30, 40 page, like stories about people's lives. Like they were basically like loose scripts or whatever, but like, I wasn't thinking about it like that. I was just thinking like, yo, I just like to write. I just like to get these thoughts out of my head and like put them into something creative that either I could read or somebody else could read. Like if I got a chance to present it, man, like I would really get into my bag and like perform the hell out of it. Like I'm pitching a script to somebody, you know what I mean? Like I didn't look at it like that then when I was in, you know, fourth or fifth grade or sixth grade, seventh grade, whatever. But, you know, that was like a tool that like I carried with me throughout like all of my career. Like I was always able to, you know, creatively like concept something and then just get it down on paper and present it, you know, like that's where I always got my kicks out of. And I think that helped me a lot in, you know, my journalism career, being at The Source and doing Stashed and being on Hip Hop Wired. I think that helped me a lot at BR, doing TV shows for MTV, doing TV for WWE. Like, I just always loved being a creative and just getting my thoughts on paper and hoping that people can, like, and just enjoy the stories that I tell. You know what I mean? Like, even if they were made up, even if they were like stuff like based on people that I knew, like I would people watch a lot too, like and make up stories in my head about like two people and what they're going through. Like that was just always my thing. And I caught on to it pretty early too. Like I was like reading and writing by the time I was like 2 years old, like 2 or 3 years old. So like some stupid young, like my parents, I had like some like Mensa level like genius in me as a kid, and then like I just threw it into like pop culture and like, you know, stuff that I like basketball, football and stuff. But you know, I was just, it's just something I always just loved to do, and it was always like a tool that I could use anywhere I was in my career.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you like writing more, wrestling or music?
So it's different with me, man. So like in music, the way I wrote in music is way different the way I wrote in wrestling, because I kind of always, when I was in my writing bag for music blogs and like magazines and stuff like that, I always told myself I'm only going to write about the music that I connect to, right? And it's a young man's game. And I look back at my time writing about like artists that I grew up with and like kind of grew with, like your Wale's, your J. Cole's, your Big Sean's and Wiz's, and like kind of telling those stories and like leaving it there kind of feels more special to me than, you know, creating something for TV or creating something for WWE or creating something for any sort of like, you know, campaign or something like that, right? Like the music writing just came from a more honest place, because I would never try and tell whoever's reading my stuff how they should feel about, you know, the way an artist or a rapper was putting a song together, putting an album together, but just how I felt about it. And I feel like a lot of people connected to it. I feel like a lot of people that read my stuff knew where I was coming from. And, you know, I really got to see how much that resonated with people as social media began to rise, right? Like getting that sort of instant feedback from people around the world, the artists themselves, and, you know, people that consume that sort of media on whether you were good or not. And there's no satisfaction like that, right? Like there's one thing if you're writing for WWE, the satisfaction that I got from that was, you know, rehearsing something with a talent, not knowing if it's going to be good, bad, fans are going to cheer, boo, get the story, be confused, whatever. That adrenaline before you like walk the wrestler into the back and get on the headset and Vince is like standing across from you and like all these, and there's a million things going on. There's 30,000 people outside, like getting ready to go crazy. And, you know, that's a different satisfaction because it's an adrenaline rush. It's like, oh man, is it going to be good? Are they going to boo it? Are they going to cheer it? Are they going to fuck with it? Are they not? Like, you know, and then when you hit that, like when you're writing something and like the crowd reacts and you got them hooked, that's a rush like you cannot describe. Like it is like, it's like hitting it's like getting like a clutch jumper or a big hit. Like, cause it's the same reaction. Like, the crowd erupts, they roar. It's the same arena that like every team that you root for is playing in. And you conjured up the same emotion with your mind and your pen that other people get for dunking a basketball or hitting a home run. It's an incredible experience. But yes, me personally,
and performing that song in front of people who you've never met or never seen, and they have this adulation for you for something that you just made in a room by yourself.
Yeah.
And you go somewhere and you're like, what? All these people know this shit and they love it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's even more fun because you don't get credit. You know what I mean? If it goes right. You only get blame if it goes wrong. Right. So like if it's ass, everyone's gonna be like, God damn, who put that? Like, who wrote that? Like, who put that segment together? But if it goes good, like the best victory is the sweet silence. Like, if nobody's wondering, everyone's just so happy that that segment with those performers and those wrestlers did really well. It's a phenomenal feeling, and you get to retain that sort of anonymity and being like, oh man, like that was, you know, it's bliss. It's great.
If you were to write a book, what would it be about?
Oh, man. I mean, I definitely do want to write, like, a memoir one day. You know, I feel like I've experienced, like, so many different lives, you know, like I feel like between, you know, music and hip hop and The Source to, you know, working with Steve Stout with Stash to, you know, being at BR and, you know, with Marshawn Lynch and then going from doing stuff at Uninterrupted with Braun and then, you know, the whole 7, 8, 9 years that we did Palooza to WWE years to, you know, Flagrant 2 podcast to now my own podcast. Like, you know, I feel like I've met a lot of people. I've been on some like Black Forest Gump shit for a lot of things and just happened to be at the right place at the right time and being like, I can't believe I'm here. I've been in so many situations where I'm just blessed to be in the room or blessed to be like help tell a story or be at a situation where like, you know, you're one of the voices that a lot of Knicks fans see in a year where the Knicks are finally good. Right, like the year that the Knicks finally get it right after these big games, after these big home games, like they cut to you. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's such a departure from like how I started my career, where it's like right. I don't know how I was gonna get there, but you know I got there. Same thing with WWE. Right. Like I didn't know like having an interest in wrestling, doing like backyard wrestling with my friends. And, you know, loving watching like Macho Man and Hulk Hogan as a kid would lead to me like working like directly with Vince McMahon and like Triple H. I didn't know that, you know, this stuff would like lead me to directly working at a company founded by LeBron James. Like, you know, it's just so many, you know, so many twists and turns that like I would love to be able to give, you know, those experiences to somebody, because I feel like a lot of things I was told was, you had to kind of pick something and stick with it and do that until, you know, you get the picket fence and the kids and all that type of stuff. And I'd want people to see my story and my career trajectory and be like, nah, just do what the fuck you feel like. Like, if you got some passion behind it and you like it and you think you can put the energy to do it, do it. Like, I got to tour with my best friends for 7 years, squirting, like, cognac in people's mouths and, like, and having the biggest artist on the planet like perform at a party that started in the basement, you know, like, and to go from that to, you know, being an editor of one of the greatest, I mean, one of the longest running hip hop publications in history, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many boxes I've gotten to check off of life. And I would love for people to see that and be like, yo, if he did that, I could do that too, because it's so fun. I never feel like I'm working. Everyone's always like, yo, you do so many things. Like, how do you find time? I'm like, yo, I don't feel like I'm working. I would do a lot of this stuff for free. I'm not, but like, I'm glad to do it, because this is what I've always dreamt about doing.
Well, Kaz, I definitely want to give you your flowers, bro, because you are one of the you're one of the people that I could say that we don't have a blueprint of how we do things.
Yeah.
But anytime I go somewhere, your name is in the room. You know what I mean? So it's always funny. It's like, yo, I remember shouts to AP and Hawk and them when I was going Uninterrupted and doing stuff with them.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yo, you know, Kaz, I'm like, I see him a lot. You know what I mean? This and that. Then I start, you know what I mean? Like bouncing around and, you know, doing, you know, being in different spaces, and they're like, yo, we thinking about bringing in, because I'm like, do it. Because at the end of the day, for one, you know, with you doing these things, also, not only are you open, you leaving the door open for people like me and others that are creatives and, you know, constantly doing things, but then also it's inspiration, as well as when you look in the situation of, you know, for others to see, like, there's no box, there's no ceiling for us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like how you said, the excitement of, like, you know, being a writer to doing this, and then like the ideas that you think when you just a natural creative, like it's not impossible. It's just, when is it going to happen?
Yeah.
And in those certain situations, like it should never be an all to you.
Yeah.
Because it's in you. You feel me? Like, you can't explain it. Like, I still be like bugging out sometimes, like, yo, I covered the NBA.
like, bro.
But it did.
It's crazy, man. Like, I completely 100% get where you're coming from, because, you know, like, hearing that is dope. Like, you know, like, even like talking it through in my own head, I'm like, damn, that's like, who would have thought? Who would have known? I still pinch myself that like MSG got a whole home studio in my crib to broadcast like Knick games. Like, I still got to pinch myself that like I go past the team that I root for and it's like a billboard of me. You know what I mean? Like, with my co-host, like, it's like, it's funny you bring up Hawk. I seen Hawk post something today on Instagram and Twitter about like kind of like his home setup and how he's done for like NFL Network and like Uninterrupted and all that. And Hawk is like an inspiration to me, dude, because he says something that's like,
oh, he's the best, bro.
Is it impossible or is it hard? Like, if it's impossible, don't waste my time. But if it's, but we don't run from hard. I'm not afraid of hard. So like, that sort of thinking leads you to be able to kick open different doors and showing people that, yo, you could do this. And I love that to keep doors open for people. Like, I always want to be able to, you know, turn around and hand another opportunity to somebody or hand another situation to somebody and be like, listen, like, I've done this. I know you can do it. And, you know, it's being a creative just never stops. Like, it's the one job. I wouldn't even call it a job. It's the one sort of like calling that like you're never fully off the clock if you're doing it right. You know what I mean? Like, you're always just kind of going to see what's the next sort of situation or possibility that can like lead you to continuing to create. You just never stop, you know? And it's fun at the end of the day. I feel like deep down, underneath all this stuff, like, you want to be able to have fun with life as long as you can. Mm-hmm. And the times you could bring your fun to work, or, you know, part of your work is bringing fun to people. Like, I don't think there's a better way to sort of live your life, man. Like, especially if creating is what you want to do.
Yeah, that's facts. So we got one question that we ask all our guests. What advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Damn. All right. Let me remember who I was at 18. 18 years old, I had just graduated St. Patrick's High School. I'm thinking I'm going to go to D2 for a couple of years. 4 years and go play overseas. I'm gonna tell my 18-year-old self that you should probably go play basketball at another school. For and two, don't forget any of this experience, because you're gonna need all of it. You know, like, I feel like since I didn't make a career out of basketball, a lot of people just stopped trying to have a career in basketball, but I still got a career in basketball, even though I'm not playing, you know, like, I would say to myself, continue to have fun. And if you're not having fun with something, or you don't think something's fair, or you don't think something feels right or smells right, trust your instinct, trust your gut. Don't second guess it. Because it took me a while to like stop second guessing myself. And I think a lot of 18-year-olds or a lot of, you know, young black men could relate to that. You know, we as black men, especially as a young black man, kind of feel like if you don't follow a certain guideline, or if you're not hitting certain marks at a certain age, that you're failing. And I wish I could tell myself that, you know, way back when, so I didn't put so much pressure on myself. I used to have terrible anxiety. You know what I mean? I used to have like fucking real life anxiety attacks before like big basketball games, before big projects, before, you know, big moments in my life, because I always wanted, you know, things to be right. Like, I couldn't even fathom like things going wrong. I couldn't fathom losing a game. I couldn't fathom like having a bad game. I couldn't fathom, you know, blowing a project or any of that stuff. I would tell myself to relax, trust your instincts, trust your gut, because, you know, once I started doing that, it didn't really steer me wrong. Like, it really got me in the rooms and places that I never thought I could be. And having success there made everything, is making, currently making everything, you know, wonderful in my life.
Well, man, you know, we love to hear it, bro. You know, you always welcome back on the show.
Man, I appreciate that, bro.
Definitely. Great having you,
bro, for sure. And I would say your how it started and how it's going, with you throwing the hat off the roof.
They remind me every time for the Porzingis, Tingus Pingus, at Tingus Pingus. Look at him now, though. Look at him now. Yeah. I ain't gonna hate on Porzingis. I hope he's healthy or whatever. But the Knicks did win that trade, though.
Long term, for sure, man.
Yes, sir.
Man, thank you again, bro.
Appreciate y'all, Trey. Appreciate you, James. Thank you so much, man. Y'all take it easy, bro.
Growing up the same wins the game.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.